Blog Talk Radio.
World War II Navy veteran, design project engineer on the A-4 fighter jet, author of 6 books, a feature film in development based on his upcoming memoir, inspirational speaker, and blogger. Declared legally blind, nothing stops him from accomplishing his Christian missions and spreading God's word through the written word and his nationally syndicated worldwide radio show. Welcome to America's Man of Vision radio program. Here is your inspiring host, Franklin D. Murdoch.
Welcome. My good gracious, this time goes by so fast. I almost missed you. Welcome. And a happy day, and happy day this is. I had some surprises during the last week, and I want to share them with you. But at the same time, I want to welcome you to a program that wants to be a truth program. I don't care for anything else. I'm not trying to make points. I don't want to do that sort of thing. I have what I believe is a mission to tell you that which God has revealed to me. And to know God as close as I know him. Man, it's amazing. It's wonderful. It's a peace. We're at peace. I'm in peace at all times. No, it's no fun. No kidding. There are people that have a hard time. I live in an assisted living facility, and my co-residents of this facility, man, some of them are hurting. Some physical. I mean, hurting, not in pain. They're in pain too, but I mean, hurting. For the lack of knowledge, no understanding, love factor, truth factor. It is amazing what people don't know. I don't claim to know. Not all. No. No, I do what the Lord leads me to do and say. And he's given me a subject on my heart to reveal to you today. The issue, one of them is love, what it means, what it doesn't mean that you have the passion. I'm not talking about the love. It's passionate, but it's honest. We want to know every day that you emulate his love, the gracious love and the fullness of his love, that others don't know that they can find out, they could find what I have found. Man, I'm 94 years old. Young, I don't care, whatever you want to say. In God's world, there's no age. But I'm 94 years as far as this world is concerned. Over 94. And I feel like I'm about 60. I'm comparing how I felt some years ago. And the only thing is, I'm not as able and agile to do the things I want to do. I spend more time getting it than I get it done. More time spent trying to get it done than I did at those ages, at younger age. And therefore, I could see then, too. But I'm legally blind. I have macular degeneration. And I have the dry kind. There's two kinds, wet kind and dry. The wet has some hope of having something. It had some success in getting a hold of that early and doing something for it and helping a person out. The dry type, I'm told, there is no help. There's nothing they can do. They don't have. They're trying. They're researching. They're working hard. And it's worth supporting. Yes, we have many subjects in this world today that all ask for your support. The support in the things, the firemen, the police, the support for people that preach. Man, I haven't asked for any support yet, but I sure could use it. But God will provide, and I know he will provide. I'm not going to worry about it. I have no fear, for God is in control. Man, I remember back in 1945, when I was thought that my life was over. My wife had told me that she had found someone else, and I was going to get a divorce. Well, that night, I didn't sleep well, so I went down to the washroom in the barracks on Treasure Island, where I was staying. And sitting there in the corner of the washroom, a voice clearly spoke to me. It was diagonally across the room from me. That's the direction it came from, but I saw nothing. But he says, "I am in control. Fear not." Those were the essential words he said. Those are the ones I remembered. The next day, I had an opportunity to call my wife again. And the first thing that happened, she started to cry, breaking out, asked for forgiveness. She said, "She didn't know what I was doing. I'll never leave you. I'll never so please forgive me." Those things happened to me. Happened to me more than once, many times. Even recently, even within the last couple of weeks. So I have a relationship and fellowship with God, with the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, that I know it's real. And I'd sure love to be able to tell you just what to do and how to get it, but I have the one thing. I can give you, in the Bible there's so many examples, real examples. I was reading one a little while ago about Jacob and Esau, brothers, huh? Brothers to the man who was the miracle baby that was promised the promised one of the world. Anyhow, in Malachi 1:3, it says God loved Jacob, but he hated Esau, and he gives it a lot of reasons. I'm not going into them. But he does it. We use the word hate or the thing is something that we have to think of. But the answer to most of our questions, most of our problems, is not emotions. No. Most of our problems, we make up our problems by emotions. Most of our problems are that which we have in us and not being able to release. I'm brought up. What was good for my grandmother and good for my mother and father is good enough for me. Did you ever stop to think that maybe they were wrong? I don't mean any disrespect for them. No, not at all. To have respect for one another in the sense that it's a love respect. It overcomes every obstacle. The Bible, the reading God's Word, and reading it to know the truth and say it before you read that Bible, pick that Bible up and start reading it. Know that the words down there are true. They're written by 40 some different men, huh? And no, they're written by men of God, at the influence of the Holy Spirit. So the author of the words that are in that book is the Holy Spirit. And he is one of the triune elements of our Heavenly Father, our God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ, my Lord, my God, my Savior. To get to the excellency. Just the excellency of knowing them and having a very close and intimate fellowship, relationship with them. I wish I could hand it to you. Man, I'd be glad to. I'd be awfully glad to. But this world is evil. This world is evil. And it is so that we have to live in it, but we have to take it as it comes. But remember always that your purpose in life is spelled out throughout the Bible. you find that purpose and agree with it and repent. And that word repent. Just repent from all things that you've built in your mind and built in your thoughts and so forth, and ask God to cleanse them and to guide you right and make you whole. He will manifest himself in your life like you've never imagined. You'll find the truth, the kind of truth that sets you free from all behind the bondage, physical, mental, emotional. In other words, I don't care. There's nothing else in this world except the goal where we're going. And we're going pretty quickly. This age is coming to an end, and we have the transition portion of this age where we transmit through our millennial age. The millennial age is for a period of time. I won't talk about that, but it says 1,000 years. The years are superfluous. Because when you are in God's presence, a year is like a year to them would be 1,000 years or something to us. But time is so relevant to the purpose of God. So don't try to tie it down to our time frame, to our way of living. Oh, I know, there's some of you that are laughing and scoffing. Some are not. I met a man the other day, been a new resident into where we're living. And we were in the dining room. And he was using rather uncouth and awful language to the food handlers. We don't have waitresses, they serve us, but the food handlers. Young girls and young men, they're going to college, they're working something, and working this job while they put themselves through college. Now, afterwards, he was taken out of there, physically taken out of the dining room. And I thought maybe there was time that he'd be gone because he'd call his family and have order him to get him out of here. But they didn't. They're going to help him. They don't run the business that way. That man needs help. They are here to give us that help. Brookdale Senior Living. And it is a goal of theirs that we can live our waning years in dignity and learn the truth. We can know the truth. The man who is an executive vice president of this organization. And I made friends, real friends. He's a wonderful man. And he's the executive vice president of all Brookdale throughout America. And Brookdale just recently acquired by merging with them, Emeritus, a number of lower, smaller units spread throughout the country. For retirement, but they didn't have the money behind them that is needed for them to really do the job. We have in this world a thing that's called senior or elder disrespect. I'd call it, huh? Elder abuse, elder neglect. I don't care how you put it. Getting old is not for sissies. I'm 94 years old now, and a couple of months. But that's neither here nor there. Age is a figure that I don't think of anymore. But anyhow, in order to be able to emulate the fullness of God's love, to be on his side, to his favor. That he'll have his face smile upon you. You'll be at rest and peace from now on in his presence. That you would not have believed. It's even possible. All it takes is a surrender, if you will, a relinquishing of the selfness, the egoism you might have. I'm my own boss and I'll do what I want to do, but I'll be my own boss. God helps those that help themselves. Boy, what a lie. That's a lie of the devil. And he uses it too, believe me. I know I've had personal fights and battles with him. I don't belong here, but I have overcome. Some of the things I've overcome is just amazing. And right now I'm just regaining back some of my strength. And one of the things that was wiped out, man, you heard people getting during the war being brainwashed, huh? I've had the experience that went through the doctors where they treated me, but I ended up, my mind was wiped clean. I couldn't remember what the purposes were and what everything. I remember where I lived. I remember who I was. I remembered my kin, my granddaughter, my son, things coming to see me. But anyhow, when I got home, when they finally released me, and I wanted to go back to work. My work is tied up in the computer, and I don't know that much about computers, but I know how to operate them. And I didn't know how to even turn the thing off. I'd get my granddaughter to turn it on, and I'd be working, trying to work with it, trying to write something. And I can do that, but I tried to turn my computer off. I didn't know how to do it. I knew how to turn the switch off. But you don't do that way. So I didn't see it coming either. When I come into the assisted living facilities back in 2008 was when I did that to the third wife I had passed away. Three of them passed away and orphaned me, widowed me, And they were wonderful, wonderful people. And I looked over the things and looked at my life through the lens of Scripture. It does not happen by accident. My life has been orchestrated. And I am glad it was. Because the guy who led the orchestra knew exactly what he was doing. And still does. Well, this age is coming to the end. And what I've just recently put together, it's a message that I did work a lot with the Holy Spirit. It's a message of God that says it's the last time. The last time before the door is closed. Take that for what it means, whatever, huh? But when that door is closed, there's no way you're going to enter into the realms of heaven, here on earth or in heaven, unless you're already part of his family. And grafted in, if you're a Caucasian, adopted and grafted into the family of his, the Jewish family. Not all Jews want to know anything about God. You're not alone. In the latter days, God says he'll spread on this earth a delusion to people that will believe a lie. Only those that dedicate themselves, that want to know the truth, really want to know the truth. And you have to put up with things, disappointment sometimes. But fatigue, you're laboring. Man, I've labored over this thing for much. I've got to tell you something. When I was in 2007, I went into good advantage with the Department of Veterans Affairs to take part in a rehabilitation for the blind. I have macular degeneration, and I'm legally blind. And I entered into the hospital, the Veterans Hospital, on February 7th, 2008, I believe. And I come out the 15th of July. During that month, I did a lot of things, a lot of teaching. I even made a picture of the Last Supper in copper and working it down to even getting the feet and toenails on his feet where they were applicable. It give me a way and you get a chance to learn how to survive over a handicap. Being able to have a handicap and overcome it. Jesus overcome the evil of this world. Best example I can give you. And with him, nothing is impossible. I'll say that again, because it's important. There's things that you and I tried to do, and we are proud of our work, and we're proud of ourselves, and we want to be the dictator, administrator, or what you want to call us, of all functions in our life. They go astray, and it don't work. If you're going to survive, you're going to survive for one reason only. God is on your side, and you have recognized that and realized that, and you've asked him to be your Lord. Don't be ashamed. Man, all of us are in that boat. All of us are in. I listened to a man on television the other day. It impressed me quite a bit. I don't know if I can remember his name. Richard Jordan, is that his name or something? Anyhow, he's in Chicago. But he's a real down-to-earth preacher. I listened quite a bit to Kenneth Copeland, if you ever listened to him. And I get a call once in a while from his staff, wanting to know how I'm doing and so forth. There are other preachers I've been very, very closely associated with. One of them is Chuck Missler. His ministry is a Canonia House ministry, a house of information. What's it called? He's up in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho now. He was starting when I met him. He was down in Southern California. Went up to Big Bear, California, in the mountains. And he lost everything he had. Earthquake wiped him out. But there was other things that was more political than anything else wiped him out. So he put his life together and to find the truth. Yep. A good, solid man. Good one to listen to. But when we listen to these pieces, like you're listening to me, if I have interest you at all, the only way you're going to find it is to do it yourself. Pick up that Bible or get you a Bible. And when you get sit down, just ask God and open it. Says, God, I'm yours. Please come into my life and let me hear from you. When you start reading those words, you'll hit someplace that those words will talk to you. You will almost hear the voice. But it's a message from God coming to you. experiencing it. Experience the wonderful experience of attaining the miraculous knowledge of Jesus. Yeah. I wish that I had more time, but I guess I'm getting kind of close to the end of the day. I don't know if I just rambled on here or not, but I was reading, and I was trying to get the answer to some of it, because reference to God has stated some of the things he hates and so forth, but in Micaiah, chapter 1, verse 3, that area, he talks about Esau and Jacob. They were brothers. Brothers to Isaac, born of Isaac and his wife. And they were twins. When they were born, Esau was the firstborn, and Jacob come into this world holding on to the heel of Esau. Esau ends up in desolation. And his family and his two had to put up with that sort of thing. So reading it in Micaiah, what happened to him in Jeremiah 49 and then in Romans 8, to 8 or 10, I can't remember. Anyhow, I wish I knew that Bible like some people know it. There's a Dr. Jack Van Impe. I think he's memorized almost every word in the Bible, and he can just at the second come to mind references that will come to cover some certain situation. Now, there's people we need to guide us in this search for the truth. If we know the truth, we've got pretty well the job beat. We're winners. We are victors. And we look for the opportunity of a complete lifetime, spend eternity in the presence of Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit, tied together as one, in unity of faith, actions, and anything, but that has a wellness to be able to hold on. I have about less than 60 seconds left on this show, and I want to say farewell, au revoir, good night, and I'll see you next week. Boy, I should like to know who I'm listening to me and what they think. And I am in a position that I'm not in an audience and talking to live audience. But I am in my home in the disabled facility with my telephone as my microphone. And bear with me. God loves you. So do I. Good night. Someone leaving the microphone open? And I wish I could hear from some of you. I'm 94 years old and feel like I'm 30 years younger. Except in the business of sexual activities. My body is worn out, I guess, some things like that. I've learned a lot, growing in maturity, by three beautiful women. One, 39 years, and she passed away at the young age of 59, I beg your pardon. One for 17 and a half years. third one only for 6 years. But looking at it through the, looking at your life through the lens of Scripture, you can't do that if you don't study the Scripture. And don't just believe what people tell you, in some teacher or something else. There's preachers out there that teach erroneous lines, the dogma. Dogma is the basic belief that they have, and doctrine is the putting the belief to work in some sort of a thing, and you live in a doctrine. The book says, don't be tossed to and fro from the wild winds of doctrine. So, that isn't just getting religious. Religion is a false expression. It had the connotation of the Pharisees, which was wrong. But if you take the word religion and use it as a part of relationships, fellowships, which is probably the better way of putting it, lead us and protect us and make us grow in His mold, shapes, forms. He will shape us and put us into work the right way. But you got to go to God. To you, without you first going to Him. He gave you. He gave you His only begotten Son. You have to accept that before He'll do anything. Yes, find yourself a good Bible-believing Christian church. And not as easy as to find as you think. You want to be careful in taking just an idea in 2 Timothy chapter 15, man, I can't remember. If I knew memorize the words, it'd be all right. Study. It says, to make yourself, study the word rightly, dividing the word of truth. So in that word, there can be other things that are not true. You can hear it. There's demonic angels that put out a lot of information just for the sake of Satan. There are God's ministering angels, and you'll get the real truth. Rightly dividing that word of truth and applying it to your everyday life. It isn't that hard. It isn't that difficult. Study the word. Get yourself a good concordance. Look up the meanings of some of those words that are meant as they are meant. I wish I could remember right now. The Mary Magdalene, I believe it was, it went to the tomb to, they rolled a stone, and the stone had been rolled away. She looked in and Jesus was gone. But she saw a pile of linens. She rushed back, told Peter and the rest of the group, and I guess it was Peter and John that went running to the tomb. John stayed outside. He looked in, saw the linens, as the Bible says. Peter went in and he observed the linens. Then the next verse, they used the word saw again. John went into this, and he saw the linens. There's three different versions of what those words meant. First one, John looked at it, and he observed those linens, just observed. So Peter went in and he saw the linen, but he says he took a look at the linens and he imagined something which was the truth. He visualized in that way. Third thing is when John went in and saw the linens, again the word saw, it means an entirely different word. It means he understood, looked at them and understood something that Jesus had said to them when he was alive. No. If only we could all get the same information. But it takes a little study, a little confidence, in Jesus and the Word. He will never leave you, never forsake you. Can you just imagine that you've got a problem, your child, your mother, your father, your aunt, somebody else, a neighbor, thing that you have to deal with. But remember, you don't have to deal with anything that Jesus isn't right there with you. And you should be able to call upon him and have some lesson to get to the end of the truth. No, don't give in. Stay in there, being ready to fight. Put the whole armor of God on. It's going to be rough. The Bible says it's going to be rough. We've got some rough times to see ahead within the next few years. Going to get rough. And watchful. Don't take my word for it. Get you a good reference Bible. One that you'll read through and find out there's some quotations at the end of a paragraph. You might be reading something in Malachi like I was, and it had reference in Jeremiah. Look up at Jeremiah and see what it says there. So the good reference Bible will tell you. You get it more than one place, and you can find out what it's all about in our family, associated with us, neighbors at work that don't want anything to do with the Bible. Or think about it. It's all done, so let it happen what's going to happen. It's wrong to think that way. But who am I to say it? God bless you. God let his face shine upon you. And be in his peace and rest. I ask in Jesus' name. So mote it be. Old high school, 1937. Doesn't seem that long ago. Oh, mine eyes have seen the glory of the rising of the West.
Wait a minute, I even lost the words. Our teams are marching on. Our teams are always best. Yeah, our football teams. I see the glory of the rising of the West. they're defeating all the teams. No, they're overcoming all the scores that have been thought of as best. Our teams spell defeat for all they meet. Our team is always best. Faith is marching on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. Hallelujah. Our team is marching on. Yes. The town I was born and went to school in, had a West High School, a South High School, and East High School. They had one out in Boondocks, River something. And so we those are days. Days when I would skip school and I'd go up into the mountains, take my lunch with me and climb a mountain behind the Capitol building.